Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Eh, a little sense of normalcy in your life. Go to Brewers Outlet, pick up some items. Okay? Do that. All right, let's get to, before we get to Sandy Barber, let's get our play-by-play call of the day. We are using historical calls because we might as well have some fun with this along the way. Let's see what Matty Ice has picked up today.
Johnson over to Ramsey. Big Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. Al Michaels with Ken Dryden, 1980, 40 years and 3 weeks ago.
You got to start off with that.
In the greatest upset, and will probably always be the greatest upset in the history of sports, the United States college kids beating the Soviets professionals, a.k.a. the Big Red Menace. All right. it still causes problems today. Okay, we'll care whether it's using Facebook or now this oil face-off with Saudi Arabia, which has also played a role in the stock market. Although I see the stock market was up 9.4% today.
Yeah, it came back a little bit today. I got about half of what it lost yesterday.
Whew. Boy, it's that Luke Cotrillo college fund. it was up 1,985 points today.
We'll take
pretty
it.
Good.
Now we're just worried about keeping him inside for right now.
Oh, that's okay. He'll be fine. All right. The NCAA tournament is not going to be played, as we all know. But there is still a chance, it's just a chance, that an official bracket of the 68-team field could be released. They have not yet, as of today, completely killed the idea of putting together a 68-team bracket for the purposes of an official recognition of the basketball season. While far from a sure thing, and it's far from a sure thing, it's still on the table, offering at least hope to coaches and players across the country that they could at least potentially get formal recognition for their work that they put into their seasons over the past 5 months. Dan Gavitt said, we're hearing today that there's interest from coaches and athletic directors, Sandy Barber being one of them, because she's talked to them. We're going to talk to Sandy in a moment. I wouldn't say that we've shut down the idea completely, but there is, practically speaking, it's a bit challenging at this moment. There's pluses and minuses to any decision. If you put the field together, you could have teams, depending on that conference's policy, that would not be the most obvious choice as the automatic qualifier. It's something we're going to continue to look at. Well, that's easy. It's whomever's your tiebreaker is your number one seed in the tournament. Okay, we're done with that. This has been so fast and so emotional. True. We'll continue to look into it a bit. Gavitt's comments come after high-profile coaches such as Bruce Pearl, Bobby Hurley, Calvin Sampson, and others lobbied for the release of the bracket. If this was able to be pulled off in the coming days, it's unclear whether there would be a televised element to this or whether it would be released or unveiled through the NCAA Communications Office. The biggest challenge is logistics. The selection committee for the men's Division I tournament said their goodbyes in New York late last night. That's not even 24 hours. The 10-person panel is comprised of athletic directors and conference commissioners, all of whom are going back to their respective schools and leagues across the country to deal with their situations at home in regard to caution with the coronavirus. Even though the committee members are no longer together, they could certainly communicate electronically and go through the seating and selection process to build a bracket. It's a matter of time, desire, and consideration for every team that would be involved, those who did get in and those who didn't. The reason the idea is not completely died in the vine yet is the fact that the logistics surrounding the cancellation of the NCAA tournament left this as a dangling thread. With coaches, some media members, and fans enthusiastic about the release of the bracket, it's remained a possibility, even a small one at this stage, nearly 24 hours after the cancellation of the tournament. There was some discussion about it, I'd say substantially, Gavitt said. To put us into real time into what is going on yesterday, conference tournaments were being canceled, committee members were dealing with their own conferences and their own programs, and the decisions that had to be made. All week there was a lot of distraction for everyone involved because of how rapidly all this was evolving. The selection committee only got as far as to send their initial ballots. So as of early yesterday, there were 31 at-large teams in the field, in addition to 13 automatic qualifiers. Many of the 31 at-large teams would have inevitably taken up automatic qualifying spots. Okay? Well, there were 31 at-large teams put in. There was concern among the committee members that because 19 conference tournaments were not completed, you have uncertainty there as to who should or would get the automatic qualifier. But Gavitt noted that every league is required to have in place a rule for a conference to name an automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament in the event the tournament is not able to hold or complete its championship. There actually is a mechanism for that, because each conference is required to tell us how they would have given a conference automatic qualifier if the conference tournament was not completed. The conferences have that. It is required. In some cases, it's the number one seed in the league tournament. In others, it's the highest remaining seed in the tournament, or it can be any other way the conference chooses to. When looking at schools like Dayton, Baylor, San Diego State, and others, teams projected on the top three seed lines, they have had unusually terrific seasons. Gavitt recognized that there are many programs who would like to take a little bit of a reward in the aftermath of such an unfortunate but necessary decision. I understand both perspectives. First and foremost, for the student athletes, knowing definitively you're in the NCAA tournament or a number one seed, not based on bracketologists, but based on the selection committee's decision. That's a big deal, and that's what they all play for, and that's the kind of recognition and honor that comes with it. There's something, let's see. Okay, the rest is just whatever happened yesterday. I'll say this before we get to Sandy. Is that Sean Morris of BTN is always kidding around with Dick Girardi and me, and he always says, remember, it's all about the kids. Well, if you really want to make it all about the kids, you've done two things. Number one, by canceling the tournament, okay, you're putting the kids' safety first. So that is all about the kids. Number two, telling them who is in the tournament so at least they get something from it. Look, no offense, but all these people now have time. There are no events going on. They do. There's 10 people. They have time. They can sit there online with each other and work it out and at least give the women who are supposed to have it released on Monday and the men who are supposed to have it released Sunday night at least something to walk away from this with. Something. At least a recognition. Hey, we got in. A Lamar Stevens should know whether or not Penn State got in and whether what seed they are. He came back in May to do just that. Give him the satisfaction of knowing where he ended up. Give him the satisfaction of knowing mission accomplished. What's wrong with that? Who's it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt anybody. It's a bracket that will never be played. what does it hurt to tell them that they did it? With that, we appreciate the time that Sandy Barber, Penn State's Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics, joins us. Sandy, welcome. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely, Steve. Glad to join you to talk about this important subject.
Very important. Let's start with this. The Big Ten has changed its plan to cancel spring sports. Instead, they're going to suspend organized team activities and then reevaluate around April 6th. What were your thoughts about the Big Ten's decision there?
Yeah, actually, Steve, that's not correct. What the conference put out was an attempt to clarify the practice and organized activities piece of this. The competitions for all remaining winter sports and spring sports has been canceled. What the presidents were in the conference office was attempting to clarify was, you know, what then short of that would be permissible. Most of those decisions are kind of being made on a campus by campus basis, but in an attempt to be collegial and kind of avoid any competitive advantage from a conference-wide standpoint, they were trying to make a statement, and that is what we will continue. That's what's been suspended is the ability to practice or have any team activities, and that we'll reevaluate that at various different moments, with probably the first one coming around the April 6th date.
Which is about the same time that Penn State would then be in a position reevaluating what to do with classes, because that goes through April 3rd, I believe.
That is correct.
Yep. Okay. Obviously, the men's basketball tournament is the one that people are locked in on, but this goes across the board for everybody. This is obviously a difficult time for coaches and so forth, but the health of everybody is far more important. What was your reaction when the decision was made and then moving forward from here?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I kind of get choked up just talking about it and thinking about it and being with our men's basketball team at the time that their tournament was canceled, and then you and I were both on the plane with them when the NCAA, both the NCAA and the Big Ten, made their determinations. I mean, it's crushing. It's crushing for our young people who have worked so hard, and that doesn't mean it's not for our coaches and other team staff, because obviously they put a lot of elbow grease into it as well. But you know, just to think about our student athletes and their pursuits, both educationally and athletically, and just kind of what this means to them in the moment. You know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this for the last 24 hours, and one thing I know, and we all know, and particularly this Penn State community knows, is that that our young people are really resilient, and they'll bounce back from this 20 years from now when they're husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and community leaders, and this will be one of those moments that they'll lean back on as a time to step forward as leaders and all kinds of things. But right now, this is really hard. This is really hard. Lots of not only are they dealing with the loss of this opportunity, but there's also a lot of concern about health and you know, kind of what the future holds. So you throw that all into a blender, it's a difficult time.
There's a lot of brainstorming going on right now within the media about certain subjects. One is, do you allow seniors the option to come back and give it one more shot? I know you've heard that. When you've heard that, what have you thought?
I love that people are thinking in that way, and I think that the NCAA and the membership, which obviously will ultimately instruct the NCAA, is thinking about what that all could look like, feel like. Unprecedented times require unprecedented measures, and I certainly think that we can We can think about those things. To be honest, though, that's not what's on the campus's plates right this minute.
That's right.
And the NCAA plate, it's first and foremost health and safety. Dealing with some of the operational issues that we're now faced with. Our institution and certainly this athletic department's primary focus is on students going home.
Right.
That we are driving that. Not every one of our students, much less every one of our student athletes, will be able to go home. So we're certainly making accommodations for that and trying to decide what some of our policies and protocols will be around that.
Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated brought up to Dick and me that the NCAA has an insurance policy about such things. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But you, as an athletic director, also have to deal with the economics of this. The NCAA men's basketball tournament is a major economic driver for the NCAA and obviously for institutions. Any thoughts on that, since there is no tournament this year, but those the numbers that the institutions do get are important to the experience of future student athletes?
Yeah, Steve. I mean, there's no doubt about it that the economics of this could prove to be very challenging. I do know that the NCAA does have insurance to protect the event. Now, whether or not this situation meets the insurer's criteria, I think that's something that will be solved medium term, but it's not of the health and safety criteria and priority where we are today. You know, that might be a Monday thing.
Right. Right. No, I understand.
But there's no doubt about it. There are going to be some economic and some financial realities from this, both from an individual student standpoint to the athletic department to the institution.
You've had a great career that's had a lot of experiences in it, experiences that you can draw upon. Is there anything right now that you can relate to in your athletic career that you can draw upon as an athletic director now, or are we in such uncharted territory right now it would be hard to draw upon something?
Well, I think, Steve, the answer to that is both. Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been an athletic director now for, 24 years.
Yeah.
And have had lots of different experiences. And I will tell you that those difficulties, those challenges tell you one thing, and that's that you take care of your people.
Yep.
That all you've got is your people, and that they are the most important thing. They are the priority. Our people include staff and coaches and students and our community too. You know, we've spent a little bit of time here already this morning talking about how do we keep our community engaged. Mm-hmm. Because as much as this is bigger than sport, and you know, if I've said that once over the course of the last 48 hours, I've said it, you know, a million times. This is bigger than sport, but at the same time, not unlike a lot of crises that we've either faced as a community or as a state or as a nation, sport also will bring us out of this. And so we've talked about all different aspects of our people, their physical well-being, their mental well-being, how to help them with different situations. You know, as the State College School District shuts down, people have, you know, different families have different needs as it relates to taking care of families and being with their children.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up that part in the answer about the ability of sports to eventually bring back a sense of normalcy. How important will sports be in bringing back a sense of normalcy once it appears we're on the track back to normalcy?
Yeah, Steve, I think, you know, every, whether you want to talk about 9/11 or you know, Scott Sidwell on our team, on our staff, helped Tulane through Katrina.
Yes.
And so he's obviously got some incredible experience there. But, you know, every one of those, sport helps bring the community or the nation back. And, you know, we'll certainly prepare ourselves to be that link and that connection back to normalcy, not only for ourselves, but for our community.
So this is a benign question, but I'll ask it anyway. Should the NCAA at minimum at least announce what the bracket would have been? That way the players would have known whether they made it or not?
Yeah, that's, you know, that is certainly something, Steve, that I asked several members of the men's committee to consider, and I know that that they did. I mean, this is one of those ways in which we help our student athletes through this. But the response that I got was as they thought through it, and there were just too many complications to do. I would have loved for that to have been an opportunity. Now, having said that, you know, we'll figure out a way as a campus to celebrate that team and celebrate what would have been an NCAA tournament birth. And and you know, if it's not going to be done on the larger level, we'll do it on our community level.
Alex, and one final question: once we start to turn the corner on this, how excited are you as an athletic director as to what Penn State can then accomplish in terms of the healing for everybody, and not just as a campus, but also especially in the athletic department?
Yeah, I think you know, we'll be ready. We'll be raring to go, and I think that that we can be a really powerful, valuable, visible opportunity to show, you know, whatever the community or stakeholders or whoever we're trying to show this to, that we're all getting through this and that we're roaring back.
Exactly. Sandy, thanks so much for your time. I know it's you have a lot going on, and we appreciate the moment you gave us here today.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite, Steve. Take care.
Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics, Sandy Barber. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Up your new car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. You heard right. Lease a 2020 Kia Forte LXS for just $99 a month for only 36 months. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $4,373 off on a 2020 Kia Optima LX, now just $2,262. And $4,271 off on a 2020 Kia Sportage LX SUV, now only $21,284. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lease term 36 months, 12,000 miles per year. $5,000 total due at signing or equivalent trade. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
And working on a long list of other guests, too, right now. As I pointed out to Matt, I said, unfortunately, everybody else is free. Well, since they're free, we're going to talk to them. We're going to get some people on that we're going to find, that you're going to find very, very interesting. Because on this show, most people think only Matt's interesting. He is the Jack Nicholson of his program. No? Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Look, while some of you are stocking up on a certain item out there, might I recommend you stocking up on Brewer's Outlet? Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Buhner loves garlic, by the way. I haven't really talked that much about Lamar Stevens. I will maybe a little more next week. And Mike Watkins and Curtis Jones. Obviously, this has been very tough. I mean, like I said, I don't know why the NCAA would balk at putting out a women's and men's basketball bracket. You might as well. What does it hurt? Oh, it takes you a few extra hours to do? Believe me, you got all the time in the world right now. If it's about the kids, let the kids know they made it. What is the harm in doing that? What is the harm of at least bringing some happiness to some people and their fan bases that they made it? What's the harm in that? So everything wasn't completed by Sunday. It got completed by Wednesday night. Okay. Just go with what you have. That's your job. Take a little time. Do it. Meanwhile, think of all the seniors. I mean, the NCAA Women's Regional Gymnastics Championships were supposed to be at Penn State. Wrestling. Mark Hall, Vincenzo Joseph, Shakur Rashid. They're going to give it one last shot in the NCAAs in the Dome. Vincenzo was going for his third title in 4 years. Mark Hall was looking for his second, and he was going to attempt to do it going home to Minnesota. The men's ice hockey team, first ever Big Ten regular season championship. They were going to then go to Allentown after this, you know, after the Big Ten tournament was over. Allentown hosting a regional, getting back to the NCAAs with a heck of a team. Look at the seniors on that team. Men's lacrosse, Grant Amett, Gerald DeSerry, Colby Canese, the goalie, the great goal scorer, Mac O'Keefe. They were trying to get back to Philadelphia in the Final Four. It is as crushing for them as it is for any other senior athlete out there. And we could go through, you know, the baseball players, the softball players, track and field. It's tough. It's really tough. Now, obviously, the decisions are made for the greater good, and everybody understands that. Still doesn't mean it's not tough. I'm going to try and get some of these coaches on at some point to talk about their teams, about their seniors. We're going to try and do that as well. All right, we'll take a break. It's Friday. There are no games to pick, but the king is still in the house here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Brewers Outlet Guinness. Brewers Outlet Harp. Brewers Outlet Guinness. Brewers Outlet Killian's. Brewers Outlet Guinness. Getting the message? Yeah. It's St. Patty's time at the Beverage Supermarket. Guinness pub cans only $5.99 a four-pack. Killian 12-pack bottles just $9.99. And many, many more Irish specials. And of course, snacks, lottery, fresh roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar. Second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Thank you for many years of patronage.
All right, home stretch for today. Don't forget Mark Brennan and Neil Riddell both on the show Monday, plus more to come. And
always on Friday, we bring in from a remote, undisclosed location, the King.
Nope, still in Studio 22. So it's all sanitized.
Of course it is.
I'm sanitized. Glad to see you made it back safely and you made it through another day.
You know what? Maybe I'm being ignorant about it. I try to be careful no matter
ignorant.
What.
I want to go off, but, you know, I probably shouldn't, but whatever.
I mean, to be honest with you, I've always tried to be careful anyway, but I have gone about my life and had no qualms getting on the plane, had no qualms going to Indianapolis, had no qualms. I mean, I was in the arena yesterday morning at Shoot Around. I had no problem being there. I was at the arena Wednesday night.
Anywhere.
I didn't stay for the game.
I think this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I understand the severity of it, but you don't shut the whole world down. Connecticut shut down completely. Enfield High School is closed till the end of the year. Connecticut has 6 people have it. 6.
Yeah.
You don't want to belittle it, but at the same time, you can't hide from it, you know?
I heard a doctor
the other day, and she was very driven by it. She said, you can't hide from these things. Your body has to build an immunity to them, like the Hong Kong flu and the swine flu and you have to build an immunity to it. And you can't hide from it. It's going to be back in the fall. So, whatever. I understand the severity of it, and we're both of the age that we could be susceptible to it. I'd probably change my tune if I got it.
Yeah. Well, I think that the problem here, we just went through a disaster in Nashville where 22 yep. people died from tornadoes and rebuilding is going to have to be done. Hurricane Katrina, disaster. Yep. 9/11, an attack. Those are tangible things that we can see and react to. The problem with this is the invisibility of it.
Yeah.
And that's what drives fear. That drives concern. And in some cases, not all, but in some cases, drives panic because of the invisibility of it.
Well, what else drives panic is the press. In Connecticut, they had a press conference yesterday, and the the head doctor, head surgeon general of the state said 70% of the residents of Connecticut will get this virus. I'm like, wow, how do you know that? You don't know that, you know? I have a theory of if it's as contagious as they say it is, why you've been in New York City probably 100 times. New York City's a constant parade 24/7. It is wall-to-wall people all the time. They ride subways, they ride trains, they're arm-in-arm, they're sitting on top of each other. In my opinion, there would be 20,000 people with it in New York City right now. And there's not. I think there's 100. I don't want to belittle it, but at the same time, I mean, I own a company, and General Electric is one of our top customers, not directly, indirectly. If they decide that, you know what, we're not paying until this is over, I'm done. I'm done. You know, and you've shut the whole country down. And I just don't believe you can do that, nor did you have to. So, look at the little girl. Who gets hurt besides the players when you cancel all these events?
Yeah.
The restaurants that are going to support those regional events, they've been waiting for this all year. They lost the whole thing. And in business, you don't make up a loss. It's gone. Once it's gone, it's gone. And I just don't think it's fair.
Well, that's why I said when it came to the NCAA tournament, I know they talked about logistical issues. Okay, look, I got that. Okay.
Yeah.
And the biggest logistical issue was this. It would be letting the players back on campus where right now the other students are not.
Yep.
And having them practice. Now, when do you allow them to come back? In other words, I would have picked, for example, May 1. Let's pick May 1. And by the way, we'll reassess on April 17th. Let's reassess where we are a little bit more than a month from now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the idea we want to play the tournament May 1st. When it comes to logistics, on May 1st, let's say everything calms down. Every arena in American will be looking around saying, we'll take you, because right now they're empty. Every airline will fly you, because right now they're worried about passengers. Hotels will take you.
Yeah,
right now we're empty. Restaurants.
The warmth will be there where the virus can't. It does not like the heat. So.
And not only that, but here's the other part. And this is where I think maybe I'm missing it, and they're smart and they've done exactly the right thing. I think right now postponing things is the right thing to do. So let's get that out of there. So that's the right thing to do. But part of the formula, and it was World War II, I know that. It was a war against in Europe, Japan. I've got it. Different time. But Major League Baseball went to President Franklin Roosevelt and said, what do we do? They were thinking of shutting down. I says, no, the country needs something that where there's at least a sense of normalcy. The country needs something to maybe get excited about, whatever. And I think when it comes to the college part, that's the part you stripped away was the possibility of being excited. They're still going to play it, but it's going to be May 1st, and whatever date you want to pick. And
well, same thing
said,
happened
about,
during 9/11 with the World Series.
What about like the seniors going to the NBA draft? Well, the NBA season is going to be pushed back a bit, so the NBA draft is going to be pushed back too. So that is not even an issue. So
I thought they canceled the season completely.
No, they're just suspended. They're suspended.
Okay.
I think after a 14-day quarantine for both Oklahoma City, Utah, and probably the other four teams that came in contact with Utah. So there's six teams altogether. Once that comes and goes, and say, for example, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are, quote, feeling better again, say they do feel better again.
Did they look the guy rubbing the microphones look like he was sick?
No.
Not at all.
But I would say that once that 14 days passes, I think the door will be open to the NBA announcing a return of some sort. It won't be the 15th day, but maybe like 2 weeks after that. I think the door is open on that, as long as the country continues to remain stable or it looks like it's being head off at the pass.
Right.
And I could see that too, because the NBA has already said that they're going to be done for 30 days. So if you take that half of that, 14, 15 days, you come out with that announcement, say, hey, 2 weeks, we're back, then I could see that happening.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and it may be 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now. It's like, oh, my goodness, all you know what's broken loose. I mean, it could be that. And they're trying to head off that scenario.
I don't see it. I think the scenario that sit back for 2 weeks to a month, the people who really have an issue with it and are sick are now treated, and you see what you see in China where the cases started to go away and stop. And I think that will probably happen here. I hope.
To be honest with you, I'll give you the key people. The key people are Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and believe it or not, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yeah, well, you saw Tom Hanks' tweet, didn't you?
No,
where
no.
He said that they volunteered to go take the test. They just didn't feel good. And then we're kind of like shocked. Oh, my God, we have it. And they tweeted the symptoms are, a sore throat, achy muscles, slight fever, which is the flu, and that's pretty said. Outside of that, we feel fine.
Right, so they were in Australia.
It's the elderly, the people who are compromised and the elderly who are having a great deal of trouble. So,
yeah.
And, you know, we're not far from being that elderly.
thanks for reminding me.
Well, no, I mean,
you got your birthday 2 weeks from today.
It's not a tack. There's one middle school girl here who has it. So,
okay.
Don't know how she got it. Don't know how severe it is. They don't really disclose that. But
sure.
Central Connecticut State. Okay. There was a student there who came in contact with somebody who was being tested. They closed the whole college and sent everyone home. And lo and behold, the person got tested and it tested negative. But they already sent all the kids home, so that was it. They're closed for the year.
Well, I mean, I know I'm teaching online beginning Monday.
Really?
So I've got to do that for a minimum of 3 weeks.
Can I take your class?
Sure, why not? I'm going to be recording my lecture probably tomorrow.
Cool. I'm going to look for it. Send me the link that I get it.
Sure, I get a D.
Come on, man. Give me a C. Just let me get.
Because
get me to my average.
I'm gonna change the schedule a little bit with the idea of holding out hope that we'll have face to face classes. In April,
they close all the colleges here. So
here it's up till April 3rd. So we'll wait and see. They'll obviously reassess in 2 weeks. But all right, thanks.
Stay safe.
All right.